Anything you want, you can ask them. 713-439-1560 or GameTime at 1560thegame.com. Scott Barzilla, what's up, man? And he's not there.
Apparently Scott's not there. We'll get Scott on as soon as we possibly can. Asher Taylor is one of our segments we do every Sunday, so we're looking forward to getting him with us.
And, you know, the good thing about this segment, yesterday we had it with our friend Zip from Spikes and Stars, and we talked about the negatives. We talked about the negatives, how we can fix the negatives. And I know one win doesn't change the season, but it does change the day for us today. There's, you know, we have to limit the negativity. There has been a lineup change. Everybody was crying for a lineup change. Cecil Cooper did end up moving Berkman to the 3, Lee to the 4, Tejada to the 5. So you still have your big 3 in a different order. Let's see how this lineup works. Now, the pitching, you can't change too much on the pitching because that is tougher to do. But now that the hitting lineup has changed a little bit, maybe that is the spark the Astros needed. And I know that's stupid that, oh, maybe, you know, the lineup will change so much or will change the team around. But maybe one change in the lineup can help. And we'll get a chance to see how they do Game 3 today. Red Sox-Astros starts up at 1:05 p.m. A bunch of Boston fans walking in front of us with their Celtics gear. Yeah, douchebags. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
All right, no, he's Scott not.
I'm not joking. Scott Barzilla is on the line from AstrosDaily.com. Scott, how you doing?
Doing great. How y'all guys doing?
We are doing great live at the bus. Now, yesterday, a big win for the Houston Astros, beating the Boston Red Sox 11-10. What were some of the positive things that you saw in that win?
I think the fact they just kept coming back. I mean, looking, you know, midway through that game, I was thinking, looks like they're going to go down with another sweep, you know, to one of the tough American League teams. But, you know, I think, you know, I heard earlier Cecil Cooper thought we could win 93 games. I think the key from here on out is just continuing to win 2 out of 3. And if we can win today, that'll be 3 series in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. That has to be the key. And now quickly staying on today before we get into more topics of the Houston Astros, you have Josh Beckett going up against Moeller, I believe. Is that right? So that's going to be Moeller, who has been one of the best pitchers for the Astros in the past month or so, is going to get a chance to go up against one of the best in the game right now, and Josh Beckett. What do you see in today's game?
I think the key is if Moeller can continue to pitch as he has, I don't think Beckett's not giving up 11 runs. Really, if he can just, you know, keep us in the game, you know, and hopefully we can get to that bullpen.
Okay, speaking of Moeller, what has he been doing right? We've talked about him a little bit before, but he keeps doing it. You know, he hasn't really hit that wall, and we don't want that wall to be today, but what's been the key to his success, even after people figuring out that he's a contact pitcher?
I think he's smart. I think he knows what his game is. I think he's keeping the ball down, and he's keeping the ball in the strike zone.
All right, Ronaldo Hernandez earlier in the week, actually on Friday, came up from Round Rock and pitched a pretty good game for the Houston Astros, taking the spot of Sean Chacon in the starting lineup or in the starting five there. Ronaldo Hernandez, what did you see from him?
Well, I think the key for him is obviously going to be throwing strikes. I mean, he throws the ball really hard. He throws the ball harder than anybody on the staff that we have right now. So really the key for him is to continue to throw strikes and to trust stuff. And definitely, you know, Friday's start was a good start for him.
Scott, obviously the Ronaldo Hernandez, he's here because Sean Chacon isn't here anymore. Obviously, Astros Davis being a very historical, has a lot of historical information about Astros baseball. I'm not going to go say if you can recall another physical conversation between, are there any kind of...
Hello?
All right, we seem to be back. Sorry about that, Scott. What I was getting at was not that there was you can remember any physical conversations between Astros and management, but have there been any instances where guys need to be sent away simply because of arguments between management and players, or is this something that kind of shocks you, at least in Astros history?
Well, this definitely shocks me. When the news came down on Wednesday night, I wrote an article on Astros Daily assuming it had been a verbal argument. I mean, it never would have occurred to me that anybody would have done that. I think the closest I can think of in recent past was Phil Nevin. I was sitting down, and he, I think, threw a couple of chairs. But, I mean, if that's the worst you can think of in 40-odd years of the franchise, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, Chacon's situation is way out of left field.
Hey, with Sean Chacon, the incident out of left, I mean, you just said it's something that was, it was so weird to see the whole story come down and how it's going to affect the Astros. But in this time of the season four, the
hello?
I think I'm back now, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, with Sean Chacon, the whole incident happening. Nice call. There it is. The incident happening and the Astros not in a good place. How do you see this in the long term? I know people are going to try to point back to the incident saying this either made the season or broke the season or had no play on the season. What do you think is going to happen with it?
Well, I think without being in the clubhouse at the time, I really don't know how the people feel towards Sean Chacon, the players. Jose De Jesus Ortiz made it sound like, you know, that Oswald and him were good buddies. I don't know that that was really the case. So, I mean, it's really up in the air at this point. What I can say is that, you know, if we're just going by Ed's Wade's story of how everything turned out, you know, being a coach myself, I don't know that he handled that situation particularly well.
You mentioned Roy Oswald possibly being friends with Sean Chacon. There was an article written in the Chronicle talking about the fact that maybe Oswald wants out. He doesn't want to be an Astro anymore. What's your take on that? Do you see that? Do you think that's the case, or do you think Roy's here for the long haul?
I think he would like to be here for the long haul. I think Drake McClain would like him to be here for the long haul. The key is when you look at this team and you look at it going into the future, either, you know, Drake McClain's going to have to just bump payroll up to $110, $120 million, or he's going to have to start the rebuilding process, because if you look at things right now, we're a 500 or a little worse ball club, and next year is not going to be any different unless there's some major changes made.
Hey, speaking of the club being, you know, just underachieving in the month of June, have you ever seen a month like that historically where they, I mean, just could not get anything going? And now I know if they beat the Boston Red Sox 2 out of 3, that's a pretty good win right there. And parlay that with the Rangers and the Tampa Bay series wins. But before that, have you seen anything like that in the Houston Astros' history?
2007, 2006, 2005, and 2004. I mean, the history of this ball club, I mean, recently, they've been very shaky periods of the season. And I think a lot of it goes back to that offense. A lot of it goes back to team not drawing a lot of walks, so, you know, being a lot of hit and miss. But, you know, this is what this team is. I mean, they are an up-and-down team. The ups look really wonderful, but the downs don't. It's just the way it is.
You mentioned maybe upping the payroll or rebuilding. We all know Uncle Drayton doesn't like to rebuild, and there's also that fact that maybe he's not going to get that payroll up to where it needs to be. So you think this is an Astros team we're going to have to come to expect for the next couple years until something shakes them into doing one or the other, or do you think an immediate change comes one way or the other next season?
Well, I think there'll be some incremental change. I don't see Drayton going out there and spending $30 or $40 million, but I do see him maybe going after one free agent pitcher. And if he goes after one free agent pitcher, Oswald pitches well, Rodriguez pitches well, maybe Felipe Paulino's healthy next year. You never know what could happen. And it's kind of the same situation as this year. You know, you're going in hoping some guys play well. And, you know, and some of them have and some of them haven't. And I think next year will be the similar situation, but they'll have a few more bullets in the chamber.
Hey, looking at the current roster right now, this past week, the Rangers wins, the Boston wins now, or the Boston win now. Give us some of the positives and the negatives that you saw this week and how it's going to build into today's game.
Well, I think when you look at it, Michael Bourne is starting to hit better on top of the order. He's starting to get on base, which is what you really need him to do. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Ty Williamson. He's turned into a really good seventh hitter. And it looks like Quintero is starting to swing the bat a little bit, you know, at least enough to be a decent eighth-place hitter and enough to keep Brad Ausmus on the bench. I think for the other parts, Rodriguez coming back and pitching well, Oswalt starting to pitch like he has in the past, I think those are real positives you can look to.
Ty Wigginton, like you said, having a really hot week or the past few weeks, Ty Wigginton has been hitting really well lately, has gotten his average up to 271, hit the home run yesterday. If there's a chance to trade Ty Wigginton, do you do it?
I would, depending on what you get back. I mean, I think right now, when you look at this team, I mean, you kind of see, have a pyramid scheme. You have an owner that doesn't want to rebuild. You have an owner that doesn't want to spend money. You have a farm system that has nothing in it. And so, I mean, that's a real triple whammy. You can trade a few of these guys like Loretta, like Wigginton, and just get some, you know, some good prospects back. You know, maybe we can get that farm system for producing something.
I think we still have Scott there. Scott, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Scott is still Scott Barzilla joining us from AstrosDaily.com, one of the best Astros fan websites on the internet, talking some Astros baseball. We are live at the bus across Minute Maid Park. Today, the Red Sox and the Astros go at it for the rubber game. Astros win 10-11 last night. How big is the lineup change going to be for the Astros in the month of July, which includes a series with the Dodgers that starts up tomorrow and goes into the third? But then you go on the road for ATL, Pittsburgh, Washington, and then the All-Star break. How important is this lineup change going to be?
I don't put a whole lot of stock in lineup changes. I think maybe having, you know, moving Tejada back in the lineup for right now is the best move to make because he's been struggling of late. You know, King Berkman and Lee moved up a little bit quicker. But over the long haul, lineup changes really don't make that big of a difference. I think the key is seeing this club start to maybe draw some more walks like they have in the past few games, maybe being more patient, seeing Mark Loretta have a couple of really good at-bats where he's, you know, drawing the pitcher out 15 pitches. You know, those types of things are the types of things on offense that you really like to see.
But didn't you see yesterday Carlos Lee just had, I guess putting him back in the cleanup spot did something for him mentally because he was smiling, he was having fun. It just looked like he was having fun again playing the game. And there was a different attitude in Carlos Lee yesterday. And that showed by his play on the field where Carlos Lee had, two RBI there, the home run. You know, just had a pretty big game overall and sparked that team.
Well, that's true. He did look really good yesterday. And I think one of the important things is to see when Matt Tui comes back what they're going to do with him. Maybe you move Pence back, you know, to the sixth spot, you know, put Matsui there, you know, that could be interesting. You know, I'm not knocking it. I'm just, you know, but from studies, you know, in the past, lineup changes really don't make that big difference.
All right, Scott, we've got after today's game, the Dodgers coming up and a road trip to Atlanta. Maybe not your worst case scenario, but what do you expect from this week? What's a good record? So we talk to Astros Daily again next Sunday for the Astros to come out with this week.
Well, I think anytime you go on the road, you hope for around a .500 record. I think is really the big key. But when you look at teams like the Braves haven't been playing particularly well. The Dodgers have been struggling. The Pirates are always beatable. So you got to hope that you go into those series winning 2 out of 3, and I think it has to be the team's focus from here on out. Continue to win series until you get up to the .500 mark. And from there, maybe you can start looking at what the teams in front of you are doing.
Hey, Scott, you brought up Humberto Quintero a little bit and talked about his hitting that's slowly turning around. But any update on J.R. Tolles and what's happening there?
The last I've heard is that his average has fallen to about 200.
Ooh.
I think with Tolles, he's going to end up being down in AAA probably for the season. And hopefully we can see him back in September. And I think what happened with him is what's happened with a number of numerous players. You know, you start to struggle a little bit. You get about 100 people telling you, you know, something different to do, and your mind is, you know, starts swimming. So I think, you know, things for him need to slow down, need to get him back into his groove. So just let him play out the season down there.
Scott Barzilla joining us from AstrosDaily.com. We are up against a break here. Scott, you got a few more minutes left in you when we come back?
Sure.
All right, we are live at the bus. Game time. The new game time. Rio Ramazzoni, Del Olale. We're going to be here until 1 p.m. When we come back, we're going to be joined again by Scott Brazil. I got some questions regarding the rest of the season. And at what point do you start thinking about either selling or buying some more if you're the Houston Astros? And you hear that music in the background. Nice. Maybe the Astros can dig deep, pull out a nice win.
It'd be nice.
It'd be good to see Mueller get one more.
It'd be nice to see some Red Sox fans go home unhappy.
Yeah. The Red Sox fans are walking by. And douchebags. One word, douchebags. Hey, we are live at the bus. Come on by. We'll be here till 1 p.m.
Hey, it's Friday, and that means one thing. It's time to get ready for baseball and NASCAR all weekend on big screens at Buffalo Wild Wings. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is an action-packed, non-stop big-screen fandango. All the best satellite game and race packages are at your Buffalo Wild Wings in Rice Village, Midtown, Willowbrook, Royal Oak, and Sugarland. Doors open each day at 11 a.m. They're not going to have a creepy bouncer. You just come in and have fun. Take it from me, Raheel Ramsnally. Every seat is truly the best seat in the house at Buffalo Wild Wings. See your team on state-of-the-art, high-def big screens, and now you can satisfy your late-night cravings with the new Buffalo Wild Wings Night Hunger Menu. Check out the new choices tonight, and don't forget to make Buffalo Wild Wings your golf and softball post-game stop. Groups and teams are always welcome at Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, your place for weekend sports.
If you've been waiting for our lowest Cadillac prices of the year, they've arrived. This is Craig DeSerp, General Sales Manager of David Taylor Cadillac. We're offering the biggest discounts in David Taylor history. 2008 CTSs for under $30,000, all well equipped, like OnStar navigation and other great accessories included. We have the new 2008 Escalades with $15,000 off MSRP, again, all well equipped. We have more than 400 vehicles of all types. The prices are discounted to clear the lot. We're putting clearance before the profit. You won't find prices like this at David Taylor Cadillac ever again. It's first come, first served. Come see me, Craig DeSerp, at David Taylor Cadillac. Southwest Freeway between Kessler and Bissonnette. Life, liberty, and the pursuit. Or at DavidTaylor.com.
Hey, this is Scott Atkinson with the Southern Texas PGA. Join me and my partner Brent Blackburn from Lakeside Country Club as we host the Back Nine Golf Show. We're the voice of local golf in Houston.
That's right, Scott. Golf is
and don't even start.
Okay, we're on every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right after Sean and John. And now we're on Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. right after Game Time with David Nuno.
That's three great times you can check out the best golf show in Houston, the Back Nine Golf Show on 1560 The Game.
Golf is life, son.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here. You know, if you and a buddy ever looked at a guy and went, ooh, that is a creepy-looking guy. I don't want to let him too close to my family. Maybe a wispy little mustache and clothes from about 27 years ago. Those are usually IT guys. I don't trust them. They're ferrets and they're weasels. And they try to make themselves invaluable by doing crap to your computer that you don't need. Get rid of those weasels. Go with our tech department. They do service contracts for small to medium-sized businesses, and they are your tech support guys. And by the way, if you do own a small to medium-sized business, they've got PC monitoring software. So guys, instead of surfing the porn or doing their fantasy football leagues, you can keep track of them to make sure that they're staying on task. Go with the company who has all the IT specialists that you need right there at your fingertips for a fraction of the cost. Our tech department, 713-358-6000, 713-358-6000. Check out the website, rtechdepartment.com. That's the letter rtechdepartment.com. For all of your small business and home computer needs, it's our tech department.
KGOW, 1560 AM, Bel Air, Texas. Dayman. Ah-ha! Fighter of the Nightman. Ah-ha! Champion of the Sun. Ah-ha! Back to the Masters of Karate and Friendship. It's game time with Raheel and Dale on 1560, The Game.
Game Man! Oh, fighter of the Night Man! Oh, champion of the Sun!
The sun.
Oh,
You're a master, of karate and friendship.
This is one of the words that goes like right over my head.
Huh?
I don't know where it's from until I heard it for the first time.
Yeah. See, you're not the only fade that down.
Fade that down, KJ.
The car can save anything. Okay, Dayman, we're getting a lot of emails about this one, actually. Where exactly is Dayman from? Dayman Nightman, and it's from the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. One of the funniest shows on TV. It's on FX, and the new season's going to be starting pretty soon. Actually, in October, so not pretty soon. It's coming up in a while, but the show, if you go to YouTube and put in Dayman Nightman, just watch the whole thing. And it's one of the funniest shows, and this episode in particular, Sweet D dates a mentally challenged person. Pretty good.
All right, I'll check that out when I get home today. I'll check that out.
We are live at the bus. It's the new game time. We heard Rams and Del Ole and Kevin Joseph back in the studio running things. He's the guy in charge of doing the Raven call, which...
All right, we seem to be back. I think the Raven has had enough.
I think we just dropped it on... We dropped it on purpose. The Raven, I love it. I don't know how it got in the system. I don't know when it got in the system, but I'm happy it's there. I am happy it's there.
Hey, Raheel, it made its debut Friday night, BLCS. I read the Raven poem from Edgar Allan Poe.
Kevin. Kevin, what was the thing we talked about yesterday?
Were you in queue or were you on air?
That was on air.
All right, we appreciate it. We do have Scott Barzella still around, so
yeah,
we
Scott
might get back to
joining there. Us on 1560 The Game. And as you mentioned, Del, a lot of good Astros talk with Scott Barzella and, and the guys from AstrosDaily.com. And Scott Jones is back here. The big story of the day in Houston Astros land is how are the Houston Astros going to face Josh Beckett and get a win and maybe go for that series win, make it three in a row, and slowly just start chipping back into that lead that the Cubs have built. Now, Scott, All-Star break coming up in, 2 weeks. What should be the goal for the Houston Astros in terms of being behind the Cubs and their own record?
Well, I think what Phil Garner did, I think, was the best. When he was dealing with those huge deficits in 2004 and 2005, he didn't look at the team on top. He looked at the team right above him. And so his goal was, let's pass that team. So right now, I think our goal is, let's pass the Pirates. Then we can move on to, you know, maybe the Brewers, and then we can move on to the Cardinals, and then the Cubs. Because, you know, you look at a 15-game lead or a 13-game lead, and you're thinking, ah, the heck. But right now, you know, if you can look at one or two games, you know, that's something you can manage for right now.
Now, traditionally, every team hits a slump, and every team has a high. So the Astros hit that high in May, hit the slump in June. How's the month of July going to look for them? What do you see in the schedule? What do you see from the team that says that maybe the month of July could be a good one?
Well, I think in the beginning of the year, Bob, you know, one of his first times on with y'all was looking at the schedule and looked at the fact that, you know, you had, you know, maybe a dozen more road games at the very beginning. Hello?
All right, we seem to be back. Scott, unfortunately, we didn't hear anything you said. I'm sure it was groundbreaking. So can you repeat that one more time? What do you see in the month of July regarding the Astros?
I guess Scott is gone. KJ, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, Scott, there we go. We're back there. Sorry we lost you. We didn't hear the answer about the month of July. And I think the fine folks at home did get a chance to hear it because when we dropped, that is me and you dropped.
That's true.
But can you summarize that answer for us so we'll still talk some baseball with you?
Well, yeah. I think at the beginning of the year, we played so many more road games that we had to be pretty optimistic. You know, what I was thinking was if we could get to this point around 500, then the rest of the year could be really good. I mean, we're a few games under 500, so I think July, if everything continues on as is, you know, should be a pretty good month for the Astros.
Month of July, looking at the schedule here at the bus, the Dodgers, as I mentioned, will finish out the homestand, the 10-game homestand. Then you go to Atlanta, you go to Pittsburgh, you get a day off on Thursday, Washington for three, and then the All-Star break Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday off, the Cubs back at home, Pittsburgh back at home, day off, Milwaukee going on the road, and then back here for Cincinnati. A lot of divisional games here. If there's going to be a month that decides it, if there's a month where you're going to see baseball that really matters for the Houston Astros, it will be in July. But at what point do you start thinking, okay, we're sellers or buyers? Is it right after the All-Star break, a few games into after the All-Star break, or right before it? Let's say if the Astros go on a losing streak, do you just kind of decide to blow it up a little bit and get some trades in? I don't know if Uncle Drayton's going to do that, but what do you see?
Personally, that's what I would do. If we hit a losing streak right now, that's what I would do. What Drayton's going to do, I think you've got five guys on this team that are untouchable. You've got, you know, Bergman and Roy Oswalt have been here. You've got Pence, the young guy. You've got Tejada, and you got Lee. That's probably from Drayton McLean's point of view. And really, when you look at it, a lot of it is from a marketing perspective. I mean, you got all those you know, crazy guys out in the outfield with their, you know, wooden stick for horses for El Caballo. You got all these people wearing, you know, the cat suits. You got the shed selling mountain lions, you know, as pumas. I mean, Drayton's not going to want to, you know, break that. So when you see guys trade, you're going to see the Whittington, the Rez, you know, maybe Valverde. You know, you never know. But you're not going to see any of the big studs be traded.
You mentioned Wigginton, Valverde, and Loretta. And what could that possibly do to replenish your minor league system? Obviously, those guys aren't headliners. Maybe Valverde is if he's on. What prospects would you be looking at?
Hello?
Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now.
All right, I don't know if you heard me, but had a couple issues. I was wondering, we were mentioning Valverde, Wigginton, and Loretto. What kind of prospects could you possibly believe you could get to replenish that minor league system? Obviously, those guys aren't really top of the line, maybe except for Valverde. So if you trade those guys, what could you reasonably expect back from another team?
Well, I think Valverde will bring quite a bit in because, I mean, teams are going to be looking for relief pitching in July, especially those teams that are in the playoffs. Even if a team has a shaky closing situation, you really might be able to hold them over a barrel. Loretta and Wigginton, not so much. If you can pair them together, you know, you might be able to get some things. But your choice is going to be, you know, if you're looking at the minor leagues, you're going to be looking at, you know, solid double-A or triple-A prospects, or if you really want the top of the line, you're going to have to go down into the low-A ball and get guys who maybe are 3 or 4 years away.
I think we're back here at the bus again. Scott, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right, speaking of Valverde, I've got a few questions regarding the closer who was supposed to fix all the problems the closers have had here in Houston. One big thing, it seems like any time Jose gets in there, there's either a home run given up or a few runs put up, but he eventually does work the save. What have you seen from his mechanics or the pitches that he's throwing that's causing so many issues?
Everybody in the major leagues can get the 96-mile-an-hour fastball. So the key is he's got to have good movement and good location, and he doesn't always have that. You know, occasionally he throws that flat 96-mile-an-hour heat. And, you know, everybody can hit that out of the yard. The other key that really got him going earlier in the season is that split-finger fastball. He's just not using that as much in the last few weeks. And I don't know what's going on with that pitch. It hasn't hurt him yet. You know, they've had, you know, a good lead. You know, he's given up, you know, one or two runs when they've had a three-run lead. But it could hurt them eventually if they need a really close save.
Scott Barzella joining us from AstrosDaily.com. A few more questions before we get out of here, Scott. The Astros lineup we've talked about the pitching. Right now, in the month of June, hit the rock, you know, you hit rock bottom. How would you grade Cecil Cooper for the month of June?
I think what has happened with Cooper is he doesn't have a whole lot of managerial experience. So he came in with a philosophy of running aggressively and pitching aggressively, and those things can backfire on you. And I think he's kind of gotten a little you know, the deer in the headlights look where it's like, oh, geez, this stuff isn't working, you know, what am I going to do? I think an experienced manager would take a philosophy and just go all the way through it and go through the dips and, you know, and the peaks. The only criticism I have of him is that, you know, whenever things, you know, whenever we lose, whenever things go bad, I mean, he just loses people quickly. I mean, the Sunday conversation he had with the media a few weeks ago, he's just blasting, you know, he's blasting the team when he sat half the starting lineup down. It's like, you know, as a coach, I'd be, you know, if I'm going to sit half my starting lineup down, I'm the one surrendering that game, not you, you know, not the team.
That's true. That's a good point there.
But, you know, I think, you know, an experienced manager wouldn't take a tough loss and just completely fly off the handle. Other than that, I mean, as far as in-game moves, every manager, we're going to disagree with a move here and there. Durker's You guys there?
Oh, now we are. Didn't catch the back end of your answer there. Just go ahead and finish that up for us one more time, the back end of it.
Well, basically what I was saying is that every manager you're going to disagree with from time to time. Larry Durker is the best manager in this franchise history, and I disagreed with him at times.
Yeah.
So I don't really look at it that way. I just look at the overall picture, and the only thing I can say is that he hasn't dealt with these struggles as gracefully as some other experienced managers have.
AstrosDaily.com. Scott, tell us, what can the fans find on AstrosDaily.com?
We have just about everything that you're looking for. We have columns. We have a good history section if you're looking up numbers. We have those. We also have a link to the Astros site. And the forum site, which is really the best forum I've seen, is if you click on Speedy's. Speedy is a really good forum. A lot of intelligent Astros fans on there if you want to talk Astros baseball.
He's Scott Barzella from theastrosdaily.com. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
All right, thank you.
And you can hear him every Sunday here with us on Game Time. We are live at the bus till 1 p.m., and Dell, he brought up some good points regarding the month of July. At what point do you have to start considering the Astros season a failure? You are built somewhat for next season, I guess. You always want to give a manager a chance to work his system in. You want to give the manager a chance to work his players in. You want to give the general manager a chance to work his players in. And the Astros this season, whether it be a tease by the month of May, whether it be just hot baseball and now getting back to the balance that is June, the Astros are going to be set to make some noise, hopefully, in July, because every game is going to mean something at that point. You go into that Dodgers series, and you lose 3 out of 4. Maybe split it. It's not a good sign. You need to start winning series more and more. Start getting a few sweeps in here. The pitching has been good for the past 2.5 weeks, so let's just hope that continues with Roy Oswalt, Mueller, Backe, Wandy, who was so impressive the other night. There's so many positives to take. Yet, for whatever reason, nobody can put, you just can't give a guarantee now.
It's got to be going into this week. I'm going to say, you look at the All-Star break, you see where you are. If you're not where you think you should be, or if you're out of it completely, if you're still where you are, 12 games, even 10, if you have a double-digit deficit regarding the wild card and the division, it's time to maybe, okay, we're going to put this to bed, find a way to get what you can for Wigginton, Loretta. I don't think the Astros expect those guys to be part of their long-term plan. So you go to LA, or you play LA, you play Atlanta. You look at this road trip as the last step. If you get it done, then hey, maybe you guys decide to stay in the race. If you don't, you find a way to start dealing some of these guys off.
And a few of the players in the clubhouse earlier this week, when asked about the losing record, they said, look, our goal right now is to cut the deficit that the Chicago Cubs have set now. It was at 13 earlier in the week. They want to bring it down to singles. They want to get it down to 6, 7, around there. You want to be there and see what you can do from there. Dr. Yankee. Today, Dr. Yankee is a friend because we all hate Boston today. Live at the bus, Game Time, Real Rams on Del Ole. Come on by. We'll be here till 1 p.m. Coming up next, I've got a story that is going to tie up some loose ends with the whole Shaq rap. We'll play the Shaq rap again, and then I've got some news on his album sales here on Game Time.
My name is Brucey, Cousin Brucey.